Said eternal Father, we honor you this evening. Lord, we thank you for making a way for us to come to your house. We know every time that we gather in your house, you have never left us without a blessing. And this is our confidence, Lord, that each time that we come before you, you have your blessings in store for us to embed our soul salvation, that we might understand you better, that we might walk with you better and serve you better. We want to thank you for giving us this privilege again this day, thanking you for your cares over our lives. For since we parted here on Sunday, thank you for your cares and mercy, protection and guidance since then. Thank you for helping us in all our engagements. Thank you for workers. Thank you for our students who have resumed. Thank you for those on holiday. Thank you for everything, traders. We are grateful. Lord Jesus, we have come as we are. Lord, without one plea, but that your blood will plead for us this hour, for we have no righteousness of our own to present to you, only your own righteousness. Lord, thank you for always being on the throne interceding for us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you because of what you planned according to your promises to do for us tonight, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. And that's to give to them according to their desires. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in advance for your blessings you will give us. Commit ourselves to you still, that in the time of prayer, Lord, after the little exhortation, you will inspire us to pray with the faith of the Son of God in our hearts over the request that we shall be raised. Thank you, Father. This little exhortation, we pray that your Spirit will make use of it, Lord, to take the saints to higher ground, to cause the hearts of sinners to be opened, to be thirsting and hungry, to want to surrender and serve God. And Lord God Almighty, you will use it, eternal Father, to steer our hearts, Lord, unto surrendering, that we might, Lord, see more of you in our lives. Granted, Father. Lord, let the sick receive the faith they need for the healings of their body that you have purchased already. Thank you. Every desire of our hearts as we tender before you humbly this evening, let there be no hindrance, Father. And at the end of the service, let each of us have wonderful testimony that we have been in your presence, and that you have taken away our burdens, and that you have answered our prayers. Let it be, Lord. The blessing will be ours, and the glory shall be yours. For this we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 21. As we try to get ourselves prepared for the Easter meeting, Matthew 21, we're going to read from verse 1 to 18. As we take a little thought to fellowship upon. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a cut the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, at the settling thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strew them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold those. I said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. I said unto him, Hearest thou what this say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Yeah. And he lodged. Yeah, verse, I think I'm done. Yeah, that's why I remains one. Now in the morning, he returned into the city in hungered. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. From this little part that I've just read, though the prophet did not read up to that, he just read verses 5 and 6. To preach on the sermon, Who do you say this is? But we're just going to take a little quotation from that this evening. I just felt that, okay, Easter is before us. Let's just see the events leading to the Easter. Let's look at the events leading to Easter as we enter into Easter proper. From next Friday, from this Friday to Monday. Praise be to God. From what we have just read here, this is giving us an account. If you study this, if you study the Bible very well, you will see that Jesus Christ was, from everywhere he had gone, he was concluding his journeys, his movement, towards Jerusalem. Was moving towards Jerusalem. Because it was at Jerusalem that all that the scripture, you know, promised concerning him, as far as his atonement is concerned, will be fulfilled. And from to chapter 19, just follow me. From chapter 19, we read here in verse 1. You just follow me. You can put it on the board for the people. Matthew 19, from verse 1. And let's follow him in this journey. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished this saying, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, moving towards Jerusalem. And also, he moved forward in chapter 20, verse 17. We see what he did there. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, you know, he sent them. And then in 21, verse 1, you see, and that is where he came to Jerusalem. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, so he was coming all the way to come to Jerusalem. For the purpose of the scripture that were written concerning him. Praise be to God. And we're told that because we are trying to look at the events, you know, that led to the history. And we saw the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ as described by the prophet in the sermon. Who do you say this is? That from this chapter 21 of Matthew, we can see when he entered into Jerusalem, how people came around him. And the prophet said there are three different groups of people in the congregation who came around the place. The prophet said three of them, that some of them are people that believe him, really believe him. And there are some who don't believe him. And there are some who are in between, standing in the fence. They are neutral. They are neutral. And we could see the group here. They didn't say those three groups, the third group that is neutral, it didn't say anything. They just remained there. But the prophet picked it out from here. Because we know that usually there are three groups. And the prophet said, those who believe him, they believe him and they supported him, shouting his name, talking about the good thing that he has done. And these are the people that shouted here, Hosanna, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. And then you can see also the Pharisees challenging him. And when the children were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were telling us, did you not hear what these children are saying? Do you understand what these children are? In other words, who do you think you are? Are you qualified to be called what these children are saying? Because they didn't believe him according to the scripture. Praise be to God. Let's look at we find ourselves, the prophet said, those three groups, they always exist. As we were talking on the sermon, identification, the prophet told us that God takes his man, he does not take his spirit. The devil also takes his man, he doesn't take his spirit. That's those spirits are here. They influence people. And they give people the attitude that they manifest today. So the prophet told us that if we were living the day of Jesus Christ, whatever our attitude is today, that's what it will be if we were living then. When Noah was commanded to go and make the ark, to build the ark for the saving of his household, and the people came around, they were criticizing him, they were throwing rotten tomatoes at him. You, this prophet, you don't know what you are doing. How can you be building an ark, you know, on the highlands? It's supposed to be by the seaside. So that after you are done with it, you push it into the sea. That's what the engineers will say. But he was building where God has him to build. He was using the material that God has him to use. The material that he was using were contrary to the normal material you use to build an ark or a boat or ship. They were criticizing him. The prophet said they were criticizing him because they did not have the revelation that Noah had. The prophet said the same thing happens today. And he says, we find ourselves, paragraph 44, who do you say this is? We find ourselves sometime like they were then. See? It is just entering in now to a great feast. Jesus was coming to a feast of the Passover, and he had entered Jerusalem, or entering Jerusalem. And the prophecies of everything he did must be fulfilled. Everything in the Bible has a meaning. Every name has a meaning. There is nothing written in the scripture but has a profound meaning. And people take the scripture for granted. And that's why they give private interpretation to the scripture.
I spoke the other night at Tuxin on why did they have to be shepherds instead of theologians. You know, there's a sermon titled that, why it had to be shepherds. In other words, why did he have to be the one that it was the shepherd that he went to speak to about the birth of Jesus Christ? Why not the high priest? Why not Caiaphas? Why not the denominations of his days? Why should he be the shepherd who were on the field in the night, tending their sheep? Why would the angel of God descend from heaven and announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds? Why not the high priest that was the head of the church? Of course, is it not in the scripture that the angel went to the shepherds on the field who were tending their sheep and left Caiaphas and left the high priest and his deputy and all the hierarchies in the temple and left them behind? And God did not tell them anything about the birth of his son, because they won't believe if he told them. Because they have already put private interpretation to that scripture. I spoke of, yes, he was born right in the side of the church, and the Holy Ghost going way out into the wilderness and picking up not theologians but shepherds. It had to be that way. Theologians wouldn't have believed such a message. You see, God knows the attitude of the people. God knows the act of the people. He is the one that told us not to cast our peer before the swine. He won't do it either. Because God knew they won't believe, so there was no need of telling them. Because at the end of the day, by the time Jesus came up and, you know, came into their midst, and began to do all that was written in the scripture that they saw with their eyes, they still were looking for ways to kill him. And look at what they said here. Did you not hear what these children are saying? Upon all vindications that he has shown them in the course of his lifetime, that they have seen. You saw what happened there, how he healed those who came to him. The sick and the blind that just still came to meet him in the temple. He healed them. And then the children began to shout, "Blessed is he that Hosanna to him, to the Son of David." They were shouting. The Pharisees were so displeased. They had a different spirit in them. I preached up here a few years ago, 2 years ago. Why? Why was it that it had to be little Bethlehem? Why little Bethlehem? Because you will know also when Jesus Christ was born, the three wise men came looking for the king of the Jews that was born. The light was leading them until they got to Jerusalem, and they thought that it was in Jerusalem that the little Jesus was born. They enter in there, and then the light disappeared from them, because Jesus Christ was not in Jerusalem. He was in Bethlehem. So they didn't see the light again. The light waited outside for them. So after Mary go rounding, and they were told that it's in Bethlehem, and the scribe took the scripture. When Herod heard that the three wise men were looking for he that was born king of the Jews, no, he wasn't happy. Then he called the scribe and said, "Search the scripture. Where will he be born?" And, you know, they searched the scripture and they located that place in Micah. That thou little Bethlehem, out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people. They say he will be born in Bethlehem. They knew. But they didn't believe it. But what did Herod do thereafter? He told the three wise men that, okay, go and worship the thing, and then you come and give me what? So that after that, I will also go. Locate the place and come and tell me. And tell me the description, and I will go and worship me. Hypocrite. And when the three wise men stepped out of Jerusalem, the Lord appeared before them again. And he led them. Not because they were told it's Bethlehem. The light knew where he was born. The light was going to lead them to Christ. But because they left the light, their guy, they left their guy, using their opinion and ideas. And most times that happens to us, living the instruction of the world, living godly counsel, then we lean to our understanding. And then we have heartaches, we have trouble, we have problem that only God can help us out of. And so God helped them out of it, and then stepping out of Jerusalem, they met the three wise and the pillar of fire, the light, and he led them back. Led them straight to the very house. Do you know that the scribe only said Bethlehem? They did not know the very house. But the light led them to the very house. It led them to, because it was God's program. Those were the people that were looking for him. And the prophet told us that if you are looking for God, God will show himself to you. Praise be to God. All right, because we don't have more time now. Now, the different groups in the days. Now, paragraph 51, so that we can save our time. But as ever, when he come just exactly the way the word said he would come. He came into the city exactly in our text this morning, the way the word said he would come. And they said, who is this? Do you see what I mean? They ought to have known who it was. Not the outside world, but the church. The church world said, who is he? It was not the outsider that said, who is this? That's what the prophet is saying. The people that ought to know. The people that ought to know who is this. When there, the scripture had plainly said that that is exactly the way he will come. You know, there was a prophecy that we have just read about. In chapter 21, it is written according to the scripture. Praise be to God. It's plainly written out the way we come. And they say, who is this? Who is this fellow? What's all this emotion about? Stop from making all this noise. It makes us nervous. See? The very thing that they had prayed for was right there at their hand, and they didn't recognize it. And he come just exactly the way the scripture said he will come. And if he did, if it does today, he will come just the way the scripture says he will come. Every program of God, every promise of God to every generation came the way God promised that they will come. Whether the people believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Whether the people believe it or not, it does not matter. In the days of Noah, did it stop the rain from falling? Did it stop God from saving Noah and keeping the ark afloat when the flood came? The flood came anyhow and destroyed those who did not believe. And the flood saved those who believed. Because God will always have a witness. Amen. By the way, did you know the word of God never did come to a theologian? That is because the word of God does not come to theology, and that's why it didn't go to Caiaphas. Because they won't believe it. Amen. Alright, let's move a little further so that we can. Alright. We find the people are much the same, paragraph 86. Yeah. The people don't change. These people were divided in three groups. And we will look at that for a few minutes. Now, I know I am going to... Okay. I get in... Right, okay. Let me just leave that. They were divided in three different groups. Three different opinions. So, three different groups. Three different opinions. Some of them believe in... Some of them hated him, and some of them don't know what to do. See? That's just the way we have got it. I believe in this church, once I have preached, the prophet said, believers, may believers and unbelievers. There are three kinds of believers. Alanda Abraham just finished preaching on that. Is he still on it? Okay. Three kinds of believers. The true believers, the make believers, and the unbelievers. The last two, they are the same. They are going to hang in the same place. But they have different roles. They may be like a different role from the role the unbeliever will play. So the may believer is the one that is very, very dangerous. The unbeliever will make his stand known immediately. You will know it. You know this is an unbeliever. But the may believer, you can't tell where he belongs until you fall into his hand or into her hand. And that was Judas Iscariot. He didn't belong to the church completely, neither did he belong to Jesus Christ completely. Though our Lord knew it. And he was choosing to serve the purpose of betrayal because he was a child of perdition. He was ordained for that. So, three groups, three opinions. Some of them believe in, then three in the group. Everywhere. These are three groups too. Seeing this state of the people have always been, we can go way back and prove that this state of the people are always like that. You see? They have always been in that kind of a condition. Even today, people are in that condition. Then seeing that it has always been that way, then it makes us to prove, it makes us prone to believe that God designed people to be that way. Three groups of people. Those who will truly believe, those who will may believe, those who will not believe. And then as the prophet previously said, those who will love him, those who will hate him, and those who will stand between the fence, they won't say yes or no. Everything, Paul writing in Romans 8 chapter said, oh, foolish man. You know, here, many people will criticize the scripture when we say that people are ordained to go like that. What about Judas Iscariot? Jesus Christ himself said it, that Judas was a child of perdition. And Jesus pronounced a curse upon him. Despite the constant, you know, conversation between him and Jesus about his role that he will play. At one time, Jesus told them and said, I have chosen the 12 of you, one of you is going to betray me. They began to query, who among us is going to do that? John started, and prophet then had it that it was Judas Iscariot that was the last. Divinely arranged. And finally, when it was his turn, all of the 11, they have said that, Jesus, they have asked Jesus and said, were they the ones? Jesus said, you are not the ones. Then he was the last person. He still went ahead to ask. He said, is it high? Jesus said, thou seest. Thou seest. And he didn't shake him. He did not move him. He did not fall on his feet and say, on the feet of Jesus and say, and hold his feet and say, why should I be the one to betray you? Why? Why should I be the one? Out of everyone, are you not the one that chose me? To cry and say, deliver me. The prophet said, you cannot have faith with what you are not ordained to have. So he wouldn't have faith to cry for that. Because he was to go that way. May that not be the portion of any of us. We are hearing the gospel on a daily basis. We are talking about what the life a true Christian should live. That a Christian must live by every word. And if you sit down there and you see what your life is, and you take over and say, well, by and by. Oh, by and by. For you don't have time, you don't have control over time. You don't have control over your life. You don't know when your life is going to end. You never can tell. We were told of, sorry for bringing this in, a brother that passed on in a London church, a deacon, elderly man. He was in the minister's meeting that we just returned from. It was not from the information that we got from. He was not sick. He went to work, came back, only to sleep, and then woke up to complain of not being able to breathe very well. And they tried to take me to the hospital. Before they reached the hospital, he died. He was not previously sick. No. Nobody, whatever sickness was going on, nobody knew about it. And if he was sick, he would have complained to his family. And the family said, no. We don't have control over our lives. So we shouldn't take things for granted.
And not only that, there were other times when Jesus Christ said that one of you will betray me. And he said, it is he to whom I will, after dipping this soap, I will give to him. And he did it and he gave it to him. And that demon came upon him. Remember? After taking it, that evil spirit that will make him to go and carry that betrayer came upon him. And he left. While he was going, Jesus said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he didn't turn back until he accomplished his purpose. People are ordained to do what they do. Yeah. So three kinds of believers, they exist still. The prophet said, in the local assembly, they are there. Only God knows who the true believer is. And if you're a true believer, you know yourself. I don't know. You don't get to heaven before you know the truth. You've got to know the truth right from here. You got to have this 100% certainty. We have to have the 100% certainty that we are going in the rapture. It's not something that when we say when we get to heaven, we know the truth. And then by and by. No. We have to make sure, because the gospel that is given to us, the message that is given to us, is to turn the heart of the children back to the heart of the Pentecostal fathers. That is what the message of that is all about. It's not to make us, religious people, not to make us moral people. It's to make us true sons and daughters of God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Just a few more minutes, I beg. God makes us, he makes it us, want to be so dishonorable. Paragraph 90. To show up the honorable one, one to be so far wrong. He shows up. If it wasn't, that would be the right thing. If that wasn't, there cannot be a bogus dollar until there is a real dollar. And you cannot have a lie until you have had the truth. There must be a true situation that somebody will pervert into a lie. If there's no true situation, then there's no lie. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So he said, lie is a truth perverted, mistold, misrepresented. See? Bogus dollar, you won't have. So there cannot be a sin. There cannot be sin until there is righteousness. Because righteousness is the right thing, and sin is the perversion of righteousness. In other words, a truth is a truth, and a lie can't be a lie until there is a truth first. To pervert that truth into a lie. So all sin is nothing but righteousness perverted. Therefore, there is a system in the world. That system in the world. Two systems. One of them is the right system, and the other one is the perverted system. And that's what dominates the world today. Praise God. The prophet told us here that what is most important here is that people will not care about what they hear in their various churches, the kind of the gospel that they listen to. The prophet said, if you go to a restaurant, an eatery, and you are served with a bowl of soup, and in the bowl of soup you see a cockroach there already cooked with the soup, maybe not knowing, not known to the people that are serving, or to the cook, or the owner of the restaurant. Oh, there's a spider. You see a spider already cooked in the soup. The prophet said, will you eat it? Will you eat it? Knowing fully well that this, you know this spider is a poison. You know this cockroach is a poison. It's been cooked with your food. And you can see the cockroach. And you can see the spider. You see it. And they have served it. Will you consider the value of your money? To say that if I throw this soup away, I'm wasting my money. Won't you call the owner of the restaurant and say, come and see the poison you are giving me to eat? Will you manage to eat it and say, well, let me not offend the restaurant owner. Let me not offend him or her. Let me just manage to eat it. You eat it, you will eat poison into your system. When you eat cockroach, when you eat spider, you are eating poison. And when you eat poison to your sister, the prophet said it will take a lot of, you will have to go through a lot of problems. Because they have to pump it from your tummy. And ultimately, it may even kill you. Because the poison might go to some dangerous part of your body and then you pass out from there. The prophet said, you won't do it as a sane person. When you see spider or cockroach cooking the soup that is served before you. Even at home, when you see it, the entire pot of soup is wasted.
I used to have a brother. Each time I read this part, I remember him. He did not throw the soup away. He didn't throw the soup away. He used his hand to remove the cockroach. I was in the secondary school in those days. You know why? There was no... It was in the night. There was nothing to eat. So somebody says he has a... He went to buy bread. All of us were hungry. He went to buy bread. But I did not eat out of that for with him. It was okra soup. Ilasipo. You know, poverty in those days. Very serious thing. And the person has that okra soup in the pot. And so everybody was hungry. So that's why he came and said, who has this? He has money to buy bread. Who has soup here? No soup. Somebody said, somebody has only okra that remains. And by the time we were going to open the okra, come and see cockroach inside.
I'm not just being funny. This is reality. You know, this is the pulpit. He used them to remove the cockroach. You carry bread and used to clear the something. He didn't die. He's still alive up to today. He has even celebrated his 70th birthday last year.
Now, you know why? The cockroach was not cooked with the okra soup. It was crawling on it. The soup was already cooked before the cockroach found his way to enter there. So he just removed his hand. If it were cooked, well, I don't know what would have happened to him. He would have eaten poison. So each time I read this part, I remember that brother.
Praise be to God.
So what are we saying? Many will know once you see it, that's the end of that soup. Because you know that if you do that, it may take your life. And the prophet said, but people don't care to what they listen to in their various churches. You see that these Pharisees, they have loyalists, they have people that follow them. And they have told those people that you must not believe Jesus Christ. If any of you will believe Jesus Christ, we will excommunicate you from the temple. And the prophet told us that excommunication from the temple that time is like death. It's like being excommunicated from the kingdom of God. Because they will not have any other avenue to make sacrifice for the atonement. They can't go to their own house and make it. They have to come God's provided way. Come through the priest, and then you give your animal to the priest. The animal, the priest will kill it. You lay your hand upon it. You know, the process like that. They will be denied access if they are excommunicated from the temple. So it became very difficult for them. So the Pharisees told them all those things that you must not believe this man. He's a baseball. He's a bastard. They believe. Not knowing that they were believing that to their own destruction. And the prophet told us that many people will not care today. They listen. People will care to eat such food that is poisoned by cockroach, by lizard, by spider. But today they don't care to filter what they hear from God's word. What theology has told them. Theologians tell them about their opinions and ideas about the world. And life doesn't come by human opinion. It comes only by pure word of God. And the prophet emphasizes that they only do that to keep the people bound to themselves. Let me read this last part because I know my time is up here. And the prophet said, these people do those things. Paragraph 97B. I will read 97B and then I'm going to. All right. And that is the way it is in religion. People do the same thing today about their eternal destination. They listen to what the Pharisees told them. Now, we are going to halt just a minute. They do it about their eternal destination. A man will go down here and you find a spider in your bowl of soup, and you want to sue the company, that company, or that restaurant. Why? You wouldn't eat that soup. It will be poisoned. You know that. And then finally, I have said that, Abi. And the prophet made us to know that these people will not care what the theologians will tell them. That's what he's bringing out of that.
They will not care what the theologians will tell them. Theologians will tell them, like today, in the various denominations where they put private interpretation to the scripture, they will tell them that it is all right for women to cut their hair and use scarf and use a hat. I use attire to cover their hair when they want to enter church. When the scripture plainly talks about that the hair is given to the woman for a covering, they will tell them they have to cut. When they cut their hair, it doesn't matter to them. As long as they carry scarf. Which covering did Eve use in the beginning? When Eve was in the Garden of Eden, God was coming down into the tent. Coming down into the garden to fellowship with them. What type of covering did he use? Congregation, answer that.
A hair. For a hair was given her for a covering.
What about today? They tell them to wear trousers. And that it is the Old Testament law. It's no longer New Testament. That it's not wrong to wear trousers. They even tell you that you look cute inside. Wear trousers.
When God says anyone who wears trousers is an abomination. Whether you wear it publicly or you wear it in the secret.
God who sits in the public sits in the secret.
His law is effective both in the secret and in the public.
The word of God does not give a chance to a woman to be a deaconess in the church, but the ordained deaconess is in the church.
When it's right, contrary to the scripture, because there is a qualification for a deacon.
There is no qualification for a deaconess. And the Bible does not talk about deaconess. They talk about a woman preacher today.
The ordained women preacher, they had them to go and preach the gospel. The name of people want to evangelize. It is in the scripture, a woman should not take authority over the man. But those people remain in their denominations, they listen to this, and they feel that listening to this thing, they are the word of God, they are the will of God for them to carry out. Not knowing that what they are doing, these things are contrary to God's program, to God's will.
The prophet preaches how many times to doing God a service without it being his will.
A man can do God a service and yet it's not God's will.
May that not be our portion. May God be sorry, I've taken time. Knowing fully well that I was only trying to prepare us for the Easter that is coming. And I believe that this event that we are looking at, Jesus Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, looking at the event that surrounded it, how he entered there, how the people were criticizing him, how those things did not debar him from accomplishing his purpose. He was heading towards that place. He had a focus.
He was going to the cross.
For who? For me and for you.
That's what he went there for. And the enemy was battering him left and right to distract his attention. But if not that, that was the Almighty God. The intention of the devil was to discourage him from doing that. But he went, focusing on that, knowing the suffering that awaited him. He went on his way straight to Jerusalem, and he didn't plan for them. He was still rebuking them, talking about so many things, talking hard on them, making them to know that, look, he has come to accomplish a purpose. And that is the redemption of man. And nothing was going to stop him.
And we are grateful today that he has accomplished that. This Easter we have, that is before us, is in remembrance. We are remembering it. We are partakers of the blessings of Easter. And I will believe by the grace of God, this Easter coming too, many who are yet to be partakers will also be partakers. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. If you desire a help of prayer after this little exhortation, you can hold your request in your heart while I invite the pastor to commit us to God in prayer.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us another opportunity to be in thy house here this evening, Lord, to present ourselves unto you for service, to check up our soul salvation. Lord, it is written your word of faith coming by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. We have just heard your word. Thank you for the title of this sermon. Who do you say this is? No man can know who you are except it is revealed unto him. We are praying and asking, O God, at the course of this exhortation, whatever needs have arisen in our lives, no person of force by Lord. May you reveal unto us who you are, as many as not yet known that, or to whom this have been revealed, may you take us to higher ground, Lord. Is it for healing? To know you are the healer, may you help us, O Father. We talk about salvation. To know you are the only Savior that there is. Among all religious leaders in the whole world, there is none that can be compared to you. The way you were born, it was miraculous. The life that you live was miraculous. The way you were crucified, buried, you rose again from the dead, there is no one that can be compared. We thank you. In every way, you prove that you are the Almighty. Your hands are up and knees are everywhere. Oh Jesus, you are the only one that can meet these needs. Meet us at the point of our needs. Remove every doubt from our lives, Lord. Every unbelief, remove it, oh God. Let the faith, oh God, that coming from you, that bring realities, be our portion. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. We leave the rest of the service in your hands, we pray. You inspire all of us to pray and become a saint. We pray your servant that you have used to bring your word. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. We have done what the Lord has us to do, and we believe the Lord will do what he promised to do. God bless you. And while we rise up to sing this song, and then I will hand over to the associate. Number 45. Leaning on the everlasting hands.
Fellowship, what a joy demanding on the everlasting hand. What a blessedness, what a peace is finding on the everlasting hand. I am leaning.
Thank you, O God, for your word we have heard and the blessing we have received from the same. We ask that your spirit will water them in our hearts, Lord, and may we be through the same drawn closer unto you. We want to thank you, O God, for the time of prayers, the written requests that was read and we prayed over, and also those on the slides and perhaps other individual personal requests. Lord, all together, everything is under your promise that whatsoever we desire when we ask in prayer, that we should believe that we have received them, such then shall we have them. The faith we have in them to believe them, may you give unto every one of us. Take away doubt and unbelief. Help us to live by faith as your word has said. Lord, your servant we have used tonight for this service, virtue has left him. We pray you replenish him and recall him a little the on of his ministry. And as we dismiss, very soon we pray that you take us back to our homes. Once again, your servants, the mission feed, may you continue to make use of them as channels of blessing to your people. May you, O God, watch over we that are at home and the Easter meetings that is ahead of us. Lord, that will be at different parts of this country, individual churches, some will have a convention, and different things in other nations of the world also. May you watch over your people. May you bless every garden, dear Father. May your word draw us closer unto you. Lord, after the meetings, may none of us ever remain the same. Grant it, dear Father. Lord, as we go, may your presence go with us. May your blessings go with us. By the time we will meet here on Friday, by your grace, may we have recourse to rejoice and give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. We want to welcome Brother Fidelis and the son, Christopher. Well, since people are standing up, can you raise up your hand where you are? That's Brother Fidelis. And then the son is beside him, a bit taller. He's also raising. God bless you. I think we are familiar with Brother Fidelis. That's the senior brother of Sister Adewumi. And God bless you. You are welcome. I also want to thank you for your prayers from when I went to Abeokuta. The brethren sent their greetings, and we'll have them soon, most of them, when Brother Daniel will be wedding, just a couple weeks away. There's been prayers for them for the success of the same. And let's also continue to pray concerning the Easter meetings that will take off Friday. The 16th time will be 9 o'clock, and it was announced on Sunday, yes. The same thing on Friday, the same thing on Sunday. God bless you. 3:15. To God be the glory.
Oh God, oh be the glory within.